JC Corcoran Podcast. Girl on marijuana. She said, if I'm not stoned, I don't wanna. But she got so paranoid, her place I would avoid. I was in love with a girl on marijuana. I was in love with a girl on cocaine. She had everything going but her brain. We talk endlessly for hours, but by morning it goes sour. I was in love with a girl on cocaine. Through ecstasy, crystal meth and glue, I found no drug compares to you. All these pills, all this weed, I don't know just what I need. I was in love with a girl on LSD. She'd see things I'd never see. She broadened her perspective. Then I got more selective. I was in love with a girl on LSD. I threw ecstasy, crystal meth and glue. I found no drug compares to you. All these pills, all this weed, I don't know what I need. I was in love with a girl who drank beer till bad breath and all, she disappeared. She was blowing up real bad, but when she left I was still sad. I was in love with a girl who drank beer. I was in love with a girl on China Way. We were married for a year one night. Her memory still lingers, 'cause I burned all my fingers. I was in love with a girl on China Way. I was in love with a girl who drank coffee. There's times when I couldn't keep her off me. That caffeine got her going, but her ugly side was showing. I was in love with a girl who drank coffee. I was in love with a girl who was a dealer. I was afraid somebody'd come and steal her. We never used to fight, but the phone rang day and night. I was in love with a girl who was a dealer. Sure as hell, she got popped by the big guys.
Now I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest disc jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Friday, August 12th, 2022. 92 days remaining in our American democratic system of government as we have known it. If we even get that far, I'm not really sure. How you doing, folks? It's JC. You are at jcontheline.com. Well, by the time you listen to this, you know, and again, it's Friday, so there are some people who go, it's not really a major priority for me to listen to JC Corcoran, but maybe I'll get to it over the weekend sometime. So, and again, the difference, we were talking about this yesterday, the difference between doing a morning radio show and doing a podcast is that there is a very good chance in this particular case that by the time 8 o'clock this morning gets here, this whole story may have changed. So I won't spend a lot of time on it. But one after another, the elements of this case are being picked apart by people who enjoy facts. I'm a big fan myself. I'm a big fan of facts. You know, there have been a couple of times in the past where the political divide in this country has been really terrible. I was, you know, very, very much alive and aware of what was going on during the Vietnam era, and I just never thought that the country would be divided like that, and I was right, because this is a hell of a lot more of a divide. We're on the brink of a civil war here. You know, the difference, by the way, and I said this a long time ago, and I basically got shouted down by people who told me I was full of shit, but I'm telling you, it is the internet. The difference here, the game changer, the golden drop of Retson, is the internet. Because in the past, if you had sort of strange or extreme views, it was difficult to meet up with other people who also had similar and strange views of the world. Now, I don't have to tell you, it's pretty fucking easy. And as George Carlin once said, don't ever underestimate the power of stupid people in large groups. Once they organize, that's trouble. Stephen Hawking said, what's going to kill off this country and democracy in general is greed and stupidity. We're seeing quite a bit of that. I would throw racism in there too, but it's possible that the whole idea of democracy, which has often been described as an experiment, that experiment may have failed. It worked pretty well for about 250 years, but ultimately it was like, yeah, I think you guys were expecting a little too much out of democracy, and we got all this greed, all this stupidity, and all these people organizing with extreme views, and we're getting back on the boat going back to Europe. My discussion of politics, I sort of made a deal with you guys a long time ago and said, we'll only talk about politics when it's absolutely unavoidable. If this isn't unavoidable, I don't know what is. But what's coming out of the mouths of people like Steve Scalise, Kevin McCarthy, and obviously Fox News, OAN, and all that, all those places, they're just, they see a fire and they just start immediately throwing gasoline on it. Trump's like, my lawyer wasn't even allowed. And while he's saying that, the lawyer is on Fox News saying, yeah, I was there. I had absolutely no warning. They just barged in. And not according to FBI documentation of it. Who is the informer? I'm dying to find out who the informer is. Anybody know if Cassidy Hutchinson spent any time in Florida recently? And at this point, it's pretty amazing because Trump issued a statement late last night saying he's not going to fight the release of the unsealing, you know, the unsealing of the document. Now, that's what he said in the middle of the night. We'll see what happens later on today when this thing actually ends up in front of who, in front of what. I don't know. I'm not a lawyer. And at this point, there's so many potential twists and turns and procedural things here that if you're not a lawyer, you're just guessing. And I'm not going to sit here and guess. I mean, anybody can do that. I'm not going to waste your time with that. But it is noteworthy that Trump has gone over 18 hours at this point without mentioning the name Merrick Garland. And you're sort of getting the idea that Trump is playing checkers. Garland is playing chess. I'm going to say something, and I don't know why. It's just instinct. And I mentioned this to my wife last night, and she sort of looked at me like, well, where are you getting that? I go, I don't know. I don't know. But I'm telling you something. I believe that there is going to be a suicide or mysterious death in this whole thing sometime in the next few weeks. Somehow, somebody is going to check out under either suicidal means or some sort of mysterious means. I don't know why. I just feel like somebody is going to bust open, and that's going to be the outcome. And here's the thing. I'm going to say something here, and I have always been responsible with you guys about what I say into this microphone. You know, we've never duped you. We've never misled you. I've had real arguments with radio station management in the past about, you know, people wanting to do wacky, hey, we have this wacky idea. I go, yeah, the only problem with your wacky idea is it's dependent upon the notion that we lie to the people who listen every day. I know what you're saying is we're just going to play with them a little bit, make them think something, and then they'll go, yeah, I know what you're thinking, and it's a dumb idea. I don't want to do that. So I guess I'm prefacing what I'm about to say with that little qualifier. But could Donald Trump have been thinking either Putin or Kim Jong-un, his two buddies, would see him as a big man if he could produce nuclear stuff somewhere down the line? And again, I was having this discussion with my wife last night, and she's like, well, what good would that do him? I go, well, he's, you know, he wants to walk around and be a big guy. His whole existence is dependent upon being a player. And now he's a, you know, disgraced ex-president, even though there's millions and millions of people who still love every single thing the guy does. But, you know, outside of his base, I don't think it's a mischaracterization to say Donald Trump is a disgraced president. You may disagree. I don't know. But here's the point. And this is severe. I'm going to tell you right now, this is severe. How do I say this? We already know what he feels about this government because he tried to overthrow it. So if he was okay with the idea of trying to overthrow the government, then why wouldn't he not even blush at the idea of getting together with a couple of America's not-so-friendly people, flying over to the other side of the world and sitting down with Putin and saying, hey, look, I tell you what, you know, we've been talking about trying to build this fucking hotel in downtown Moscow for how long now? So here, have a look at these little, you know, stories I have and all this information I have about the American nuclear system. Hey, you know, it just says fell off the truck. Anybody ask any questions, it just fell off the truck. Trump gets his downtown Moscow hotel. Vladimir Putin gets secrets about the United States nuclear system. I'm like, oh, God, JC, nobody would ever do that. My response to that would be, oh, yeah? We already know he's trying to overthrow the government. Why wouldn't he do any of this stuff that I'm just talking about? So that's it. Got it out of my system. You got to say what you got to say. Like I said, we do politics when it is absolutely unavoidable. And now we may move on. Anne Heche. What a bizarre story. Now, they did say that she suffered a severe brain injury when she crashed her car into that house last week. She is not expected to survive. One story I saw this morning say that they are taking her off life support. So that's going to be the end of it. She was under the influence of cocaine and possibly fentanyl at the time of the crash. She's had a peculiar life, you know, peculiar life. She dated Steve Martin years ago. Steve Martin having a birthday this weekend, by the way. But, and he said, because that story surfaced after she declared all of a sudden, oh, I'm a lesbian or I'm bisexual or whatever. So she starts, you know, dating women. And they asked Steve Martin, they go, did you notice anything about, you know, her sexuality? He's like, not a thing. She seemed to like the bone just as much as anybody, any other woman I've ever been with. So she had her run, you know, her career sort of, you know, running out a little bit. And, you know, who knows? But that's going to be the end of the story of Anne Heche. Really awful. Kenan Thompson, we just found out he's going to be hosting the Emmy Awards. He got his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame yesterday. He does not get the appropriate amount of recognition that I think he should. He's been with Saturday Night Live now, I think, yeah, it's longer than any other cast member ever. He does the stuff on the show just effortlessly. He cracks me up. So good for him. Good for him. I did not watch the Field of Dreams game last night. I started going up there to Dyersville, Iowa, right after the movie was made. There was just something calling me, and you get there, and it's almost like a scene in Close Encounters where it's like, well, what are you doing here? I don't know. I just felt like I was drawn here. So I've been there, I don't know, four or five times. And, you know, leave it to Hollywood and leave it, again, people with, you know, greed and stupidity. So they take this beautiful little thing that is sitting out there in the middle of nowhere in Dyersville, Iowa. And you just drive on old country, dusty roads, and you get there, and there's always somebody playing catch there, and there's people taking pictures. And on the weekends, they bring back some of the old ball players, and they put on a game, and you can just sit there, and it's just like in the movie. And somebody comes along and says, this is great. Look how great this is. What do you say we ruin it? Yeah, that's a great idea. Let's ruin the whole fucking thing. So let's build a stadium and, ah, Christ. And it's a beautiful thing. I mean, it's gorgeous with the sun setting before the lights kick in and the corn all around. It's all beautiful. Go ahead and do that somewhere else. Just don't fuck up the Field of Dreams in Dyersville, Iowa. Cubs won, by the way. And then Fox decides to get this, like, hologram of a Harry Carey impersonator to sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game. I thought it was sort of screwy. Tom Brady taking some time away from the Tampa Bay Bucks to deal with what he calls some personal things, like possibly being fitted with a Miami Dolphins jersey. And, of course, the other big story, Tom, I don't have Twitter. I want to know who I'm dealing with. On Twitter, everything's anonymous. I don't like that, so I don't participate. And therefore, yesterday, I did not see Tommy Lee's penis. Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Now, it's taken down pretty quickly on Instagram and Facebook, but on Twitter, they allow that sort of thing. The question is, nobody seems to have any idea why he did it. Jerry Seinfeld is a brilliant comedian, and I mean brilliant comedian. I also hated his TV show. Love his stand-up, hated the TV show. And I've been with Jerry Seinfeld on numerous occasions, not to just interview him, ran into him at spring training a couple of years ago, big Mets fan. I've emceed shows for him, been backstage. He is a very odd person. Just in recent years, he has indicated that he believes he may be autistic or somewhere on the autism spectrum. Now, I just thought he was a social clod, because you stand there and just, his eyes are just sort of bugged out and he's just sort of watching stuff. He seems like he's like in a half daze of some sort. And it can't be easy to be a celebrity, let alone one of the most famous comedians in the world. That cannot be easy, because people are always trying to make jokes around you. And you're like, oh, Christ, geez. You know, people bugging you all the time, asking you dumb questions. It can't be easy. But there's, you know, the overwhelming majority of the show business community. And again, I've been doing this for 40 some odd years, most of them odd. And most people figure out some way to deal with it and seem to be relatively gracious about it. Every once in a while, you hear about some dick who makes some sort of big scene just because he was asked for an autograph in an airport. And you have other people who refuse to take selfies or give autographs. It's just their policy. Steve Martin used to have little business cards that he would hand out and said something to the effect of, this card certifies that you had a personal encounter with Steve Martin and found him absolutely wonderful and gracious. But that was, you know, that was a long time ago. So even with all of that, even with all those qualifiers and asterisks, I still have always found Jerry Seinfeld to be sort of a social clod. I preface that story with this because Lisa Kudrow says she once ran into Seinfeld and he took credit for the success of Friends, because that was their lead-in on the old must-see TV days. And Jerry Seinfeld believed that Friends was a success because Seinfeld was the lead-in, or reversed, or whatever it was. They were back-to-back. That's sort of sweet, huh? Questlove, the band leader for Jimmy Fallon, bought an 8-acre farm to create a safe haven for his family in the event of an apocalypse. He says he's building his version of Noah's Ark along with a warehouse for his records. Great idea, Questlove. Great idea. How are you going to play him without electricity after, you know, the apocalypse? Oh, and by the way, you know, Noah's Ark, yeah. Boats have a tendency to be a little bumpy. The needle might go flying off the turntable. What the fuck are people doing? Jesus. All right. Starting today on Amazon, the series premiere of A League of Their Own, adaptation of the 92 movie. Fourth season premiere of Westworld. That's going to be on Sunday night. And also on Sunday night, do you know how good the $100,000 Pyramid show was? It's so good. The idea for that game show, which was created by Dick Clark, by the way, that show was so good that even now, on Sunday nights, I find myself watching it. You know, not because I like the stars or anything like that. I don't care who's on it. It's just the game. The game is fantastic. And it always has been. You know, it always has been. A lot of, you know, the game show era in the 60s and 70s produced a lot of game shows that were like, you know, you watch them now on Game Show Network. I can't believe that I accepted this as entertainment back when I was, you know, 20, 30, 40 years younger. But in the case of the $100,000 pyramid, you got everything. It's fast-paced. It's very dramatic. And then you get into the pressure of the whole thing. The clock is ticking, and you can't get the idea. The guy's throwing the clues at you, and you're like, I don't know. What is it? It's a fucking broom, you idiot. Oh, broom. Birthdays this weekend, Casey Affleck, Ben's more talented little brother, who is also apparently a pervert, 47. Pete Sampras, married to Bridget Wilson, yeah, 51. Peter Krause from 6 Feet Under and Parenthood is 57. Sir Mix-a-Lot, Baby's Got Back, 59. Bruce Greenwood, God, he did a... There's a movie called 13 Days about the Cuban Missile Crisis that I've probably seen 50 times. And he plays JFK, and God, is he good. If you ever get a chance to see this movie, 13 Days, it is awfully, awfully good. Mark Knopfler, Dire Straits, 73. Birthdays on Saturday, John Slattery from Mad Men is 60. God, the guy's got that gray hair. He looks like he's been 60 for the last 20 years. Danny Bonaducci, 63. Sunday birthdays, Tim Tebow, 35. Mila Kunis, 39. Catherine Bell from JAG, 54. That picture of her that's on the internet, of her sitting there completely naked on the front porch there with her legs spread, and just, wow, there must have been a lot of tequila involved that day. That's all I can say. 54. She's Iranian, by the way. Halle Berry, good actress, bad driver, 56. Susan Olsen, Cindy from the Brady Bunch. We used to do stuff with her all the time, the Food and Cash Bash. 61. Magic Johnson, 63. Susan St. James. When's the last time you heard McMillan and Wife and Kate and Allie? 76. Steve Martin, 77. David Crosby and his liver are not the same age. He, though, chronologically, is 81. If you've been paying attention at all recent years, you know that there's been a lot of cars damaged having their catalytic converters stolen by thieves, especially at big events like baseball games in the parking lots or shopping malls or whatever the case may be, concerts. Well, yesterday, in of all places, the state of Oregon, Beavertown to be exact, they found a guy with 45,000 catalytic converters. Maybe yours is there? I don't know. Oregon's nice this time of year. There's a lot of people who saw this movie called The Last Days of Disco, which was actually the continuation of an earlier movie called Barcelona. And Barcelona is one of my all-time favorite movies. No question about it. Easily on my top 30 list, I would say, of all-time favorite movies. And the story involves a Chicago-area businessman, young guy, you know, is probably, you know, 30-ish. He's sort of on the uptight side. And they send him to Barcelona to open up a field office to a company in the Chicago area. So he goes out there, and he's trying his best to, you know, assimilate. Well, he's got this nutty cousin who, this is a recurring thing in the movie, keeps coming up because, like, when they were 7 years old, the nutty cousin accidentally, quote-unquote, accidentally sunk his canoe. And so they're still arguing about it. It's like 25 years later, these guys are still arguing about when they were kids, 7 years old, this cousin sunk his canoe. But anyhow, this guy, the nutty cousin, turns out is like a PR guy for the United States military overseas. And these guys end up living in the same apartment together for an unspecified time. And it just sort of goes on from there. And that doesn't sound like a great setup for a movie, but I'm telling you, this is a great script. And yeah, Mia Sorvino is in this. There's some other people. And it's really interesting. I have a really, really close friend who lives in Spain. Has been there for 5 or 6 years now. And we talk all the time about the differences in the two countries and how America is perceived by people overseas. It's a fascinating conversation. We've had around once or twice before, especially during COVID, when COVID was first going. Remember, because what would happen would be whatever would happen in places like Spain and England and France and Italy, it would be a couple of weeks and then would make its way over here. So in a lot of ways, you could talk to somebody in a place like Spain and find out regarding COVID, what was going to be happening to us in the upcoming weeks and months. So in this great movie, Barcelona, there's another recurring thing about shaving, about men sort of discussing, so maybe I've been shaving wrong my entire life. And so that sort of keeps coming back into the conversation. I bring all of that up for two reasons. Number one, Barcelona is a great movie. Rent it and you'll really enjoy it. That's number one. Number two, now people are arguing about the right way to take a shower. And the dermatologists now have checked in. So they say, well, they have 5 points. Number one, don't shower too often. It should depend on your activity level. If you're not very active and don't sweat much, you don't have to shower every day. Number two, keep it short. Water and cleansers like shampoo and body wash can dry out your hair and your skin, so the quicker you're in and out, the better. Number three, stay cool. Hot water strips away natural oils and can damage your skin, so it's better to take a shower that's lukewarm or cooler. Boy, but hot showers feel so good. Number four, don't wash your hair too much or too little. Hair is made of dead skin cells, so it doesn't need as much washing as the rest of your skin, but not washing it enough can lead to dandruff. And number five, focus on the dirtiest areas. Your arms and legs don't usually need soap, but your underarms, your feet, and your penis need to be cleaned up. I like Science Friday on NPR. Used to listen to that all the time. Sometimes on Friday, we get some sort of scientifically based news. A new study found men are seen as less threatening and less intimidating when they're holding a tiny dog. I don't need to tell you, man. You're trying to meet women. Get yourself a damn dog, guys. Number two, people in Canada saw a weird phenomenon similar to the Northern Lights, but it's purple and it's named Steve, short for Strong Thermal Velocity Enhancement. Number three, a study found sea sponges sneeze to eject unwanted waste just like us, and they may have produced the first sneeze 600 million years ago. Astronomers have spotted the youngest planet ever, just 1.5 million years old. Earth is 4.5 billion years old, so in planetary terms, it's like a newborn. And an upside-down lightning bolt that shot upward towards space a few years ago might be the most powerful we've ever seen. It happened over Oklahoma in 2018. When they shoot up like that, they're called gigantic jets. You'd think they'd have a more scientific name, huh? A naked man in Florida threw a machete at another man and demanded his clothes. The man began to comply, but then the naked guy ran off. The other guy wasn't hurt, but he was hit by the machete's handle. This probably isn't shocking. Teens aren't into Facebook anymore. In 2022, only 32% of teens 13 to 17 used Facebook, but in a previous survey from 2014, that figure was 71%. I have said this before, and I've seen it almost happen. I swear to God, I've seen this almost happen. And in South Carolina Wednesday, a 63-year-old beachgoer was killed when a loose umbrella went flying through the air and impaled her in the chest. TikTok, the home of really, really stupid things that bored people seem to always want to get engaged in, now suggesting that you tape your mouth. You just tape your mouth shut before you go to sleep so you're forced to breathe through your nose, which does have some health benefits, apparently, but there are so many risks. Guess what? Authorities, scientists, doctors saying, no. I don't know. Maybe this is just people's way of escaping all the icky stuff that's going on in the world and going on in politics. But, you know, this is another one of those things where people get on the internet and start screaming at each other about straws. Does a straw have one hole or two? So in the poll, 54% say one, 42% say two. For the record, science says it's one. Are you a good liar? I like Inside Edition does this all the time. Our buddy Les Trent, who is a great guy, by the way. We have a lot of mutual friends from Buffalo, and he and I become great Facebook friends. And Les Trent from Inside Edition is a really cool guy. And I like when that show brings in those experts who can tell if somebody is lying. So, you know, you get something like Bill Clinton or, you know, the Monica Lewinsky thing, or you bring in some politician or Donald Trump or whoever it is, and they send down and they show these experts the video and say, all right, based on what you're seeing here, is this person telling you the truth or not? And I think there's great science to this. I don't think it's somebody just making something up. When you start losing eye contact with somebody, when somebody starts blinking a lot, when somebody folds their arms in front of them, all that stuff is real. I believe 100% of that stuff. So yesterday on the internet, somebody said, are you a good liar? And 28% of Americans rate their lying skills are either good or excellent. But you wonder if people are overly confident. 3 in 4 people think they can usually tell when somebody else is lying to them. So something's not right there. The CDC eased its guidelines yesterday and conceded that COVID is here to stay. They now say there's no need to fully isolate unless you have symptoms. You don't need to worry about social distancing so much. And kids without symptoms can still go to school even if they've been exposed. This is because the variants that are out there right now are not as deadly as the ones in the past, and also because so many more people are vaccinated. So the conspiratorial idiots, the anti-vaxxers, have been proven wrong again. Today will be payday for a lot of people. You'll be happy to know that Arnold Schwarzenegger, for every word he said in Terminator 2 Judgment Day, he made $21,429. Every word. And he only said 700 words, so that made him $15 million, $21,429 per word. I remember once, in my first year in St. Louis, back in 1984, you, man, and I, we figured out Joaquin Andujar's yearly salary, and then we divided it by the number of games that he would likely play in a season, the likely number of pitches that he would throw in each game. And it came down to every time he wound up and threw, even if he threw it over the backstop, he made $415. It doesn't seem like much now because of inflation. And, you know, when I was a kid, Cokes were a dime. Now they're like $3 in a hotel lobby. 28 years ago today, 1994, the second Woodstock 94 kicked off to mark the 25th anniversary of the original. I think that was the one where people were standing there in the mud for like 8 hours waiting for a shuttle bus to take them back to the hotel. Tickets, $135 each. You could also watch it on pay-per-view for $49. And the Beatles began their last North American tour together on this date, 1966. Before the show at the International Amphitheater in Chicago, John Lennon apologized for saying the Beatles were more popular than Jesus. London's Catholic Herald called the original remark, quote, arrogant, but probably true. And the Pope met with a group of transgender people the other day. Nah, he's not changing church doctrine on gender or sexuality. He just loves it when they compliment his robes. And with that, the J.C. Corcoran podcast for Friday, August 12, 2022 is in the can. 92 days remaining in our American democratic system of government. As we have noted, we're off until Monday. Let's hope we still have a government on Monday when we reconvene. In the meantime, we publish every weekday morning just after 7 o'clock, and it's absolutely free. Continue to spread the word. Appreciate it very, very much. And you may email me, jc@jcontheline.com, Facebook, the Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. Have a great weekend, everybody. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.